I want to encourage y'all to keep serving the Lord. A lot of times people think it's a burden, but it shouldn't be a burden. It should be a joy. I love the Lord, love His church, love His people, and love His word. So I don't have any problem. We actually just got back in town. We left this morning about 5 coming from Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But because I love the Lord, I don't have any problem with serving the Lord. Amen? So we're still in our book of Revelation. If you notice, we've been doing a series on the book of Revelation. And if you're not familiar with what's going on in the world, I would tell you to don't be like an oyster with your head in the sand. Everything is happening on the Middle East. Everything is happening on the curtain. Everything is happening with our administration. When it comes to Iran having nuclear weapons, when it comes to North Korea, when it comes to them shooting bombs at Israel, when it comes to Jordan, when it comes to Lebanon, all this Syria, all this is lining up. Amen? Amen? And I want you to know that. It's prophesied in the scriptures. It's nothing by accident. Everything that's happened today has already been prophesied by the God who knows everything. So don't get frightened about what's going on, because we are in His hand. Amen? So we studied the book of Revelations. Again, there are 7 churches. We started out talking about the church of Ephesus. We've already talked about this one that they lost their first love. Smyrna was a suffering church. We're going to look at that again, how there's some churches, and if you're a true Christian today, you're going to go through some suffering and some persecution. I hate to tell people this all the time. They think that being a Christian is no trouble, but I guess what? Christians have trouble like everybody else. The only difference is I have a Savior who can help me through my trouble. I mean, Christians get counseled like everybody else. Christians die like everybody else, but at least when I die, I go to be with the Lord. Okay, so there's no, and then the one we're going to talk about, we already talked about the worldly church, which is Pergamos, and this is a church that had a lot of heresies and told cults in it. And again, today we're going to look at Thyatira, which is a church of all the 7 churches. It's the worst church of all. And I'm here to tell you that we've almost living in the day where the church has become none and void, because we have churches today who believe in everything that's not in the Bible. Amen? So let's look at the Bible today as we look at the book of Revelation. Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 2. And you need to follow me in the Word of God, because Revelation, the Word of God, is the only thing I have, not my opinion. A lot of people say, that's your opinion. No, I don't have an opinion. It's what thus said the Word of God. Not my philosophy, but it's what thus said the Word of God. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 18. When you get there, say amen, so I know everybody there. Amen. Revelation chapter 2, starting at verse 18. The background is John has been cast on the Isle of Patmos to die. All the other apostles have been beheaded or killed. Peter was crucified upside down. They tried to kill John by putting him out on this island, but God used it to give him the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is talking about end times. It's called eschatology. It's the doctrine of the last things. And I got news for you. We as Christians need to know what's going to happen at the end of the world. It's recorded in the Bible. You don't have to worry about asking anybody. You don't have to worry about what Paul Harvey said, the rest of the story. Here it is right here. This is what's going to happen in the Bible. Amen? Amen. Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things said the Son of God, this is Jesus, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. So we're going to look at this. This is a picture of judgment. He got these eyes that are penetrate like a laser beam, like when you have laser surgery, and he got these feet that can walk on burnt coals. Okay, he got brass feet. I know thy works. God knows what your works is, and charity, your love, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be what? More than the first. So this church actually started out with some works, but God said, look, your last works is even better than your first works. So they did not give up. They persevered. Even though it's the worst church of all, we're going to find that there's some people in the church that are still working their fingers to the bone. Amen. So let me tell you, God still has some faithful people. Verse 20 is the base of the condemnation of the church. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to commit, what's the next word? Fornication. I'm sorry. To teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to the idol. So here's a teacher, the Bible, Jesus Christ is rebuking them because they got a woman teacher, and not only is she teaching, she's seducing, and she committing immorality in the church. So God hates that, but this is what he called Jezebel. And then he said, and I gave her space to repent. I tried to give her time to repent of her fornication, and she what? She would not repent. It's almost like Cain. When God says sin lies at the door, you can get your sacrifice right. He went and killed Abel. He wasn't, didn't want to get right, so she don't get right. And we'll find this in our Bible study today. Behold, I will cast her, this is the Lord saying, into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her. So God said, I'm going to cast her, and we're going to find out what type of bed this is, with her, great unto great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So he's going to cast her into the same thing that she's doing, fornication. He's going to get up into a bed of pain and suffering. And he says, and them that committed with her. Verse 23, and I will do what?
Kill her children.
Now, when God upset when he started killing your children. So God is saying, I'm so mad with this woman that even the ones that committed adultery with her, I'm going to kill them. Then I'm going to kill her children. And then he said, with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the rings of the heart, the rings and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to what? The works. But until you, I say, and until the rest in Thyatira, and as many as have not their doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. He said, there are a few in there that are doing right. He said, so I'm going to not put any more burden on them because they have not experienced the depths of Satan. And by the way, Satan will take you down deep, deep, deep into the gutter. Satan is, he want to destroy. He want to kill, steal, and destroy. So you got to be very careful with that. Verse 25, but that which ye have already hold fast. These are the ones that are keeping the faith till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth the works until the end, to him will I give, what he says, power over the nation. So God is going to give the ones that are faithful power. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shrivelries, even as I received of my father. And I will give him the what? Morning star. Read 29 with me. He that has an ear, hear what the Spirit says unto the church. So he's saying, if you got ears, you need to listen. I'm telling you, I'm rebuking you, church, because you got all this mess going on in the church. Got this prophetess woman committing all this adultery. I'm rebuking you, and I'm rebuking you because you going to the depths of the devil. But what he's saying here, if you got ears, listen to the Lord. Hear the Lord. Now, don't just listen and don't adhere. Listen, but take action. Amen? We want to talk to you this morning about God's dealing with this church about their unsatisfied sacrifice and immorality, and he's dealing with them about their Baal worship, how they've gone away from the things of God. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for another Lord's Day, a day that you have made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you for everyone under the sound of my voice in the house of God today. Thank you, Lord, for those that were able to make it, that got off the bed and was able to come to church. There may be some that could not make it, Lord, on the bed of affliction. We pray now that you minister to them where they're at. Thank you for, again, our Sunday school lesson we had on the rich man and Lazarus. A wonderful story, Lord, of how being rich don't send you to hell. Being without Christ send you to hell. And we see a Lazarus who was poor, a beggar, he went to heaven. Not because he was poor, but he went because he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for Jared, a friend of mine, visiting this morning. Pray for him as he will bring his sister back tonight, Lord. Thank you for a time of our congregational singing, Lord. We sung some songs on the tape today, but thank you for the blessing. Thank you for a time of our reading of our covenant reading, Lord. Thank you for a time of our testimonies, Lord, and our prayer service, Lord. Thank you for a time of our announcements, our fellowship, Lord. Thank you for the praise team, the songs that they sung, and thank you again for the offering. Now, Lord, it's time for the preaching ceremony. I'm not sufficient in myself. So, Lord, I pray that you hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you speak through these clay lips, Lord. Only those things will edify and build up. And we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. For the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Seven churches. I've already explained to you, and I just give it to you in review. This is a picture of the whole church age. From the beginning of the first church on the day of Pentecost to the last church that for God raptured the church. So every one of these criteria and every one of these characteristics are existing in churches today. So we really need to look at our church and see, do we have any of these characteristics? Because God is commending us on certain things, but then he's condemning us on certain things. And then he's telling us to listen to what he said. Now, if you look at these churches and the similarities, all seven of them, you can combine them as twins. The church of Ephesus and the church of Laodicea lost their first love. So we're going to find out that those churches lost their first love. He's saying you need to repent and come back to your first love. The church of the church of Smyrna and the church of Philadelphia are the persecuted churches. These are the churches that he didn't write any rebuke, but they were suffering. And I got news for you today. If you live for the Lord, you're going to suffer. People don't like that. They say, I don't understand why I'm having all these problems. Well, I'm telling you having these problems because you're a Christian living in a wicked world. Amen. The world do not want anything to do with God. The world don't want anything to do with Christ. The world don't want anything to do with marriage. The world don't want anything to do with righteousness. So because you live in this world, you're going to suffer. Now, don't take it wrong, because the Bible did say that Jesus came that you might have life more abundantly. So he wants you to be rejoicing. Amen. So we have two churches that are suffering and persecuted. Then we have two worldly churches, the church of Pergamos and the church of Sardis. These churches were dead. But today we have Thyatira. This church was totally given over to paganism, to worldliness, to heathenism. Jesus hated this church because they had got away from them things. And he's dealing with this church because this church was in a place called Thyatira, which is a place where they had a union. If you know what union is, the unions today have strong forces. So in this church, they had all kind of unions. They had trades and labor, they had commerce, they had industrial, they had dye, people that made dye, they had tent makers, they had people that deal with sellers of purple. So these were carpenters, they had all kinds of. But in this church, you'll find this church back in the book of Acts. When Paul went down to a place called Thyatira, there was a woman named Lydia there. And the Bible says in Acts 16:4, a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira. And she had took about some women out to the river to worship. And it just so happened that day Paul went out there while they was worshiping. And Paul opened the scriptures. And the Bible say, God opened Lydia's heart. Y'all remember that story? And Lydia got saved and got baptized. And the Bible says she started that church. If you didn't know it, that church of Thyatira started in Lydia's house. So guess what? Your houses and your cars and your possession ought to be used for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, usually you have a synagogue when you have men in the church. And they didn't have any men, so Lydia took these women. They went down to the bank. It's kind of like our church. We don't have that many men. But we're praying that God will raise up some men. We had Father's Day last Sunday, and it was only two men here. So we're praying that God will raise up men. Why? Because men are the bedrock of our culture. We need men being the head of the home. We need men being the breadwinner in the home. We need men bringing their kids to church, not sending them to church. We need men being the spiritual leader. Men need to be the protector, the provider, and the priest of the home. But we've lost men. I preached last Sunday on we've got what we call absentee fathers. Amen, somebody. We need men. Now, thank you, women, for doing all that you can do. Lydia didn't let that stop her from going to church. She went on to church anyway. So don't let men keep you from going to church, but we do need men. So we see we have the church of Thyatira. This letter from Revelation 2:18 to 29 is the longest letter. Most of the churches are not that long. So this is the longest letter that the Holy Spirit wrote to the church of Thyatira. And the reason he wrote this is because they had some issues to deal with. But if you notice, the Lord reveals himself. Go back up to verse 18. He says,
These things said the Son of God, who has his eyes like flame of fire and feet like fine brass. So here we have two characteristics that the Lord is talking about. He's saying he has eyes like a flame of fire. Now, I know y'all seen these superheroes, but I'm just saying they got all this from the Bible. You know, Superman, he's supposed to be able to take his eyes and drill, zoom, drill through steel. Well, they got that from the Bible. Jesus Christ has penetrating eyes. Most of you all know that we can have what they call laser surgery today. They used to be where they would open you up, but now they can take a little bitty beam of light. Are y'all with me? And shoot, and it even do some operating with the surgery. They can cut and do stuff inside of the body with a light, with a beam. Matter of fact, my wife has cataracts. I know she don't mind me saying it. And they don't need to be operated on. But now they have cataract surgery where they do it laser. They take a laser and they take it and they go in and they operate on your eye. Well, anyway, these flames of fire is talking about Jesus being able to see through people. Jesus being able to see your heart. See, nobody can see your motives in your heart, but Jesus can. And so he's saying, when I come back, I'm going to judge you because I can see what you did, whether it was for the Lord or whether it was for yourself. Were you doing something so you could be seen by the praise of men, or you be doing something for the praise of God? Let me tell you, you're not going to please men, so you need to stop trying to please men. You need to please the Lord. Now, if you please the Lord, you would automatically please men. But a lot of people try to please men. You ain't going to never please men. Man is hard to please. But if you please the Lord, I tell people all the time, if I love the Lord, he's going to teach me how to love my wife. If I love the Lord, he's going to teach me how to raise my children. If I love the Lord, I'll be faithful to the Lord. He's going to teach me how to be a good employee. So I ain't got to worry about trying to, my boss, sometimes I don't please him. But if I do what God tells me to do, my boss will be satisfied. Y'all get it with me? So we need to please the Lord. So those are two characteristics. The first one, what I said, was he had eyes, flame of fire. The second characteristic he had feet like brass. Now, I don't want you to get this out of context. People say Jesus was black because his brass is brown. That ain't got nothing to do with the color of Jesus, okay? We don't know Jesus' complexion, and that's not important. The issue is brass, like everything else, when you notice when they go in the fire, they put on fire retardant clothes, they always put on stuff that's in brass because brass don't burn. And so the reason he has feet like brass is so when he come back and he start judging the church, he start walking through the fire. By the way, you know this. The first time God judged the world was by water. That's going to be in our vacation Bible school. He sent a flood. The second time, how? Fire. So guess what? Jesus is going to be able to walk through the fire and not be burned. Y'all remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego? Remember those three Hebrew boys, and the king got so fierce he threw them in the fire. But he didn't realize Jesus had power over the fire. So brass feet or brass knuckles, whatever he had, he said, look, don't matter to me. And the Bible said that fire had no power. Now, it's amazing. Y'all remember the burning bush that Moses was looking at? The bush was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. So that's telling me that fire couldn't burn the bush up. Well, this is telling me that God coming back, when he come back to judge the earth, he's going to come back as a judge. He's going to come back. So we're going to look at that today. We find out another thing about their work. They had the works of love. Go back to verse 18, or verse 19. He said, I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. He said works two times. Thy works and the last to be more than the first. So Jesus knew what they was doing. He said they had a work of faith. If you don't work by faith, you'll get tired of doing the work. Work will wear you out, but do it by faith. By the way, don't work for man, work for the Lord. See, if you work for the Lord, you won't get upset. But you work for man, you'll be complaining. I did all this for you and you didn't do nothing. I took care of this. Who cleaned the church? I did. Let me say, if you do that, it won't work. Do it for the Lord. You know, when you come down and you carry the tables out there and you help set up the chairs and you bring in the tent and you go and buy some soda, do it for the Lord. So when you do it for the Lord, you won't get tired. But you start doing it for man, you'll be, I ain't doing nothing else for you. Wait, who'd you do? So this church here, this church here was working for the Lord. So he said, and your latter works are better than your first work. So God was commended them, and they persevere. Let me help you out. Don't quit. Whatever you do for the Lord, don't get tired. We have so many people that I'm just tired of doing it. Do right. I'm tired of doing right. It ain't going to pay off. Do right. Don't worry about when God going to pay y'all, because if you do right, it's going to pay off. Amen. Do right. Do right. Like Michael Jordan, you said, just do it. Do right. So this church was doing it. 3 points today I want to talk to you as we talk about this unsatisfied sacrifice, this church of immorality. Point number one, Jesus always stresses his deity as the righteous judge. There's one judge. Me and my wife was at this thing yesterday, our 45th, going back when we went to school, and there were some judges there. There were some black Afro-American women that were judges sitting on the bench. And my wife said, she's a judge. And see, so I went up to her and I asked her, I heard you was a judge. She said, yeah, I went back to night school. I had children and I should have law school while I was young, but I didn't. And I ended up having 3 or 4 children. And so it was a struggle for me. And I went back to the night school. And then I took the bar exam. She said, that was the hardest thing I ever had. She said, but I stressed myself out and I just studied and studied and studied. And she says, I'm a circuit court judge, Afro-American. I was proud of it. And then she said, and there's some other Afro-American judges. I started calling her Judge Judah, Judge. I mean, and I said, look, judging is great. Let me tell you, but Jesus Christ is the only judge that we have to worry about. Amen? The Bible says that God, the Father, is committed in John 5:22, committed all judgment to the Son. When you stand before the Lord, there's going to be one. They're going to have a black robe on. You know what his name? Jesus Christ. He's going to be able to judge your life. He knows your motives. He knows your heart. He knows whether you're real or fake. You know, when you go to, most of y'all been to a court. When you go to court, they say, all rise. Honorable judge comes in and had that black robe. You know what I'm talking about? And he sat on the bench. And then you have a 12-member jury. Well, guess what? When you get to heaven, Jesus not only is the lawyer, but he's the judge and he's the 12-panel jury. So you ain't got to have where, you ain't got to put it in the fate of man. So when you stand before the Lord, he's going to be the one bringing the gavel down. He's going to be the one defending you. And he's going to be the one on the 12 bench. So you're going to say, Jesus is all I got. And I got news for you. He's my advocate. He's my elder brother. He's my savior. So when John Jesus stand before the judge, Jesus is going to say, let him in. I'm going to say, praise the Lord. I got Jesus on my side. He's going to be the judge, jury, and the lawyer. So I'm going to agree. So Jesus Christ is stressing him that I'm going to be the final judge. I'm going to be the one. He's talking about, again, I told you about his feet like polished brass. He's talking about his eyes like a flame of fire. Jesus is talking about, look, I'm going to be, it's like lightning. He's going to say, I'm going to be the one to shoot the arrows to you. He's going to be like a judge in the scripture. The Bible says, is there anything too hard for the Lord in Jeremiah 32:17? And then it says, Jeremiah 32:17 says, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And Jeremiah 32:27 says, is there anything too hard for the Lord? So when we stand before the Lord, he's going to be the judge. Back when Jesus Christ came to visit Abraham, Abraham was in his tent. And he came to tell Abraham that his wife Sarah was going to have a son. Y'all remember the story? And then it dawned on him that he's going to get ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because they had got wicked. And whether you know it or not, I'll just give it to you. It's in the scripture. God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of homosexuality. Oh, it ain't in the scripture. It's in the Bible. He destroyed it. And homosexuality in that connotation take up all immorality. Lesbianism, bestialism, everything that was going on. And God said, you know, I'm finna destroy that city. But you know what happened? Abraham began to think that Lot was living down there. And Abraham said, well, wait a minute, Lord. You are a righteous judge. You wouldn't destroy the righteous with the wicked. You remember me asking that? And that's why God is going to be the judge, but God is never going to destroy. You never see in the Bible where the righteous die with the wicked. And he said, I know that the God of the whole earth will do right. So we have a picture of Jesus Christ. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge every boy and girl and man and woman. He's going to judge us by our works and our deeds. He's going to judge every idle word. So when we stand before the Lord, let me tell you, already have your peace made with God. So when I stand before Jesus, you know the only thing I'm going to be able to say is, That's my Savior right there. I won't have nothing else to say. And you know what they're going to say? Welcome home. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rule over it. Point number one, Jesus Christ, and he's always stressed his deity as the rightful judge dealing with this church of Thyatira. Point number two, false teachers, not because of gender, but because of false doctrine. This woman that was in the church of Thyatira, name was Jezebel. Everybody said, well, you against women are teaching. I'm not against women teachers. I'm against false women teachers. This woman had took over authority and made herself a prophetess and was committing adultery and fornication in the church. Now, there's nothing wrong with women teaching women. I don't have no problem with that. I don't have no problem with women teaching vacation Bible school. But when you look at the Godhead is always used male masculinity. It's always the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, I know y'all heard this, but I'll say it anyway. There's a move afoot today to say God was a woman. They say, and she created the world. Let me tell you, God does not identify himself as a female. Not anything wrong with that, but he does not, he identifies himself as a male. Okay? So when we start exalting female deity, we start teaching heresy and we start teaching doctrine. And I want to get you straight. I got a wife and I got daughters. And I got a daughter who just graduated from law school. So it has nothing to do with position, but it has to do with don't put yourself in God's place. Amen? God called a man to be the head of the home. God called a man to be the leader of the church. So don't take his position. Don't use up authority. Be the role. Now, it's not anything about inferiority or superiority. It's putting your place in the proper order. Amen? This woman named Jezebel caused a lot of problems in the church. Not only did she cause problems in the church, she was committing adultery. Now, I want you to give you a little background on the woman of Jezebel. Jezebel came from the Old Testament. It was a woman in this New Testament church named Jezebel. But the woman got her name from the old Jezebel. The old Jezebel in the Old Testament was wicked. She was so wicked that she had 450 prophets of Baal. And she had 400 prophets that ate at her table. And she was the one that was killing all the good prophets. And Elijah had to call her prophet on a contest. The prophets of Baal against the prophets of God. Y'all remember that? And then soon as he had all them prophets to kill, she threatened his life and he ran for his life. This woman was wicked. Not only was she wicked, she murdered Nabal. That was a vineyard that was right behind the king's palace. And it belonged to a Jew named Nabal. And the king wanted it. Ahab was a sorry king. Anyway, that was her husband. And the king got to looking sad at the face because he couldn't get it. And Jezebel came to him and said, what are you looking like that for? You're the king. That man owns that property. You would take it. So what she did was she conspired some people to lie on Nabal. Y'all remember the story? And said that he had blasphemed the king and they stoned him to death. And then she went and told Ahab, now go ahead downtown and get the deed for the land. She was wicked. She was so wicked in the Bible that Elijah told her this, that God said, because you send that whole nation to Israel, because you teach fornication, you teach Baal worship, that the dogs gonna lick your blood. Y'all remember he told her? That you're gonna be killed in the dog. And what happened is, I hope y'all read your Bible, Jehu was coming into the city. And he was gonna destroy the city. And he was looking for Jezebel. And Jezebel had tied her hair up and painted her face. Y'all know the story. She put on all this makeup trying to impress Jehu. He wasn't impressed with her makeup. She had her eyes done, had false eyelids on, had a lipstick on, had rouge on, and then had tied her hair in a big bow. And then so when he came in the city and he was pushing against the wall, he was trying to get to tear down the city. And a wise lady in the city said, hold up, don't destroy the city. Who are you looking for? He said, I'm looking for that wicked woman named Jezebel. Y'all remember the story? And he said, throw her down. And he went and got two eunuchs. And they grabbed her and threw her out the window. And when they threw out the window, the chariots and the horses ran in. And Jehu went in and got drunk. And then he told him, said, go back and see, can you find that woman's body? And they went back and they ain't found nothing but some hands. And so y'all remember the story? And the dogs came and licked up her blood. And that was a picture of the prophecy of God
that had been prophesied against evil wicked. So this church, Thyatira, had that going on. And the Lord said, I hate it. Look at verse 22. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. I'm going to put them in a bed of affliction. And then he says, and I will kill what? Her children. I want you to know that her son, she had a son named Ahasuerus. And one day he was drinking wine and he fell down through the attic. And when he fell down through the attic, he got sick. And he went and asked Elijah, would he go recover? And God said, oh, you're going to die. So God ended up killing her children, killed her son, killed her, and also Ahab. Y'all remember how Ahab died, don't you? Ahab was getting ready to go to war, to Ramah and Gilead. And he went and got this good prophet, a good king named Jehoshaphat, to go down to victory with him. And he told Jehoshaphat, he said, why don't you put on my robe and I put on your robe? He was trying to disguise him. Y'all remember the story? And so when he went into the victory, they surrounded Jehoshaphat. They thought it was Ahab. And they was finna kill him. He said, oh, I'm not Ahab. I'm not Ahab. And they let him go. And so they let him go. And the Bible said, let's show you how God, when God predicts you're going to die, you're going to die. The Bible said a man took a bow and arrow and shot it up in the air, adventure. And it landed right in Ahab's ribs. And he killed him. So God done away with Ahab. He got rid of Jezebel because she was wicked. And he killed her son, Ahab. So don't play with God. God is not somebody to play with. Don't go along with the crowd. Don't compromise your conviction. Be an overcomer. Don't be like Jezebel. Don't get into this situation where you have false teachers and they're doing all this thing. They love sin and they reject truth. One thing that happens when a person begins to sin and sin and sin, they get hardened. And the more they sin, the worse they get. And it's harder time sometimes to reach those people. That's why I told you about Pharaoh. Pharaoh had 10 times to repent, but he wouldn't. And God ended up killing him in the Red Sea. Judas Iscariot had a time to repent, but he didn't repent either. And what God did, he went out and hung himself. He committed suicide. So God will deal with it. He gave us space to repent, but he would not. Point number one, Jesus Christ stresses his deity as the righteous judge. Point number two, false teachers, not because of gender, but because of bad doctrine. Jezebel had a bad name, but she also was doing wrong, so God dealt with her. And the last point is, even in the worst church, there's always some good people. Isn't that right? So God always have a remnant. Even in this church, with all this mess going on, with Jezebel, just like in the church of Corinth, when they had male prostitutes and female prostitutes, they were worshiping Baal, there was still some good people. Even in the time when Ahab was the king of Israel, there were some good prophets that Obadiah had hid into a cave. So there's always some good people, but they had to hide. Well, in this church, there were some good people. And the Lord told him, say, I need you to hold fast to the truth. Because there's always going to be wolves in sheep clothing. You know what wolves in sheep clothing is? It's people who come in and act like they're for you, but they're out to consume you. And they had these wolves in the church. They looked like sheep, but they had them vicious teeth. Y'all know the story of Little Red Riding Hood, don't you? Where the wolf goes in and dress up as Granny. And Little Red Riding Hood comes in and say, what big teeth you have? Because it ain't Granny. So that's where the church is. This church had let the wolves come in. And Paul said that there's going to come a time when the wolves will come in, not sparing the flock. So what you need to do, you need to make sure that people are saved. Make sure people are honoring God. Make sure people are holding up to the things of God. So we don't want to have wolves in sheep clothing. And we don't want to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses had a chance. Moses had a chance to be Pharaoh. Now you would have thought this. This man grew up as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This man had seen all the fine jewelry, all the fine china, all the riches. His next position would have been sitting as Ramius on the throne with the crown. But you know what the Bible said? Moses chose to suffer with the people of God, didn't enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You know what Moses said? Look, all that wealth don't mean nothing. All that fame don't mean nothing. You know what? You need to serve God. And let me tell you today, if I had the chance to tell all the athletes that making millions,
If I had the chance to tell all the entertainers that making millions, if I had the chance to tell all the rappers that making millions, that money don't mean nothing. They need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. All that sin that's going on, I think I said this Wednesday, I was shocked. I was looking at my Facebook and two young rappers, they no more than 20-something years old, killed, making all that money, doing all that, got all that fame, but somebody drive by and kill them. So look, you need a relationship with the Lord, amen? You don't need to be thinking money is not going to save you. The only thing that's going to save your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? The Bible said that if you become an overcomer, he's going to make you the rule with a rod of iron. He's going to give you a crown. The Bible also talk about that he's going to make you ruler over cities. So what we want to do, we want to stay faithful to the Lord. The Bible says he would also give you the morning star. The morning star is a picture of Jesus Christ. He is the morning star. Revelation 22:16 says, I am the bright and morning star. So he's giving you himself. Malachi 4:2 says, the Son of Righteousness rises with healing in his wings. So let me tell you, if you live for the Lord and you hold fast and you be faithful and you be dedicated, God will give you himself. And let me tell you, I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. I'd rather have Jesus than worlds untold. I'd rather have Jesus than anything else. He's all I need. Amen? Amen. Promise of the rapture. He's telling them that I'm coming back. Hold fast to the word of God. Hold fast to the doctrines. Hold fast to your conviction. Don't quit. I already said that. Persevere. Avoid the pitfalls. There's always some things in the church or some things that are going on that pull Christians away. I've been preaching a little bit on that, and I go ahead and say it today. A lot of churches don't even have Wednesday service anymore. That's gone away. Churches don't even meet. The missionaries ask me, say, we probably need to come to your church on Sunday morning, because a lot of churches we go to, they don't even have Sunday night or Wednesday service. We don't let the devil come in and take our time. We need to get back to serving the Lord. Amen? A lot of people, and you know it, I'm not trying to be hard on people. A lot of people play sports. They have soccer on Sunday. They have baseball games on Sunday. They have what they call the intramural sports. They have these select teams. Let me just tell you, what happened to the Lord? What happened to going to church on Sunday? Why do I got to get on a soccer team and drive to Franklin, Tennessee to play soccer on Sunday? Why I got to go play softball? We have taken God's place. We need to put God back in his place. He need to be number one. Amen? Don't let them pitfalls come into church. And then here's the other thing that the church has got into. They got into politics. Now let me tell you, you need to vote, but it's not my job to tell you who to vote for. You know who tell you who to vote for? The Holy Spirit. You know, you got churches given over to Republicans. You got churches given over to Democrats. That's wrong. Jesus Christ wasn't a Republican or a Democrat. Jesus Christ was about righteousness. Now, I heard this the other day. Well, you know, both the candidates are evil, so you need to vote for the less evil. Now, where'd that come from? The lesser two evils. Where'd that come from? Now, the bottom line is God is in control. He exalts one and he abates one. Now, my job is to pray and ask God who to vote for. Now here's the problem with preachers, and I'm a pastor, I'm saying. If you ask me who I voted for, you know what my answer is? None of your business. Because my conviction is not your conviction. When a preacher starts telling you, you need to vote this way, he's putting his conviction on you. That's wrong. I voted for Jesus. They have write-in candidates right there. And when they say, President, you can write in Jesus Christ. Now, you know he ain't going to win, but I voted for him because he's not here. So I'm just saying, have your own conviction. Don't fall into the pitfalls of the church. Another pitfall of the church is we put entertainment and programs above the word of God. Now, I don't mind having 150 choir members, but if you ain't going to come to Bible study, if you ain't going to come to read the Bible, you don't need to be in the choir. We don't need to exalt music and abase the word of God. Amen? You know what needs to be exalted in him? The word of God. You know what we need? Teaching. You know what we need? Preaching. You know what we need? The word of God. You know what we need? Now, I had to pray about showing a film because I know films are not all set of scripture, but the film has a lot of basically Christian principles in it that we can draw from it, and it's something that we can help young people to see Christ in a movie. But we need to stay with the Bible. Amen? So one thing about our church, we're not going to be like Thyatira.
We're not going to allow a woman to get in teaching that's not living right. We're not going to do that. We're not going to allow for all this mess, Baal worship going on in the church. We're not done. What we're going to do, we're going to stay by the grace of God with the word of God. We're going to stay praying. My wife and Sister Gaines have been having a prayer circle. We need to keep that going. We're going to stay missionary minded. We had missionaries come. We're going to stay supporting missionaries. Matter of fact, I'm hoping now we have never supported a missionary on a full-time basis. We just give, you know, a couple of $100 when they're here. So I'm praying that God will touch our hearts as a church to start sending every month to a missionary so they can have maybe $50 a month, maybe $20 a month, but at least something we're giving. And look, we're doing it for mission. We're going to stay focused on the word. We're going to stay focused on godly hymns. My wife asked me today when we was coming to church, she said, what station are you on? I said, I'm on the gospel station. She said, that sounds like a hip-hop music. That sounds like a rock and roll music. I said, what they did was they just put a little Jesus word in there, but they kept the same beat. Let me tell you, that's something wrong with that. We don't need the world music. We need music that going to upbuild Jesus Christ. So guess what? If you come here and you're looking for banging and rocking and roll, you're at the wrong church. We're here for the music that glorify and edify the Lord. So we're not going to fall in those pit holes. We're not going to fall in those pit holes of politics. We're not going to fall in those pit holes of entertainment. We're not going to fall in those pit holes of doing everything to get away from the Lord. We're going to stay faithful to the word of God. Amen. Not because me, but because I follow a leader and his name is Jesus Christ. The shepherd of this church, the chief shepherd, is Jesus Christ. I'm just following him. And you follow me as I follow him. Now, if you ever see Pastor Jeter not following Jesus, then you stop following Pastor Jeter. If you see me going to the liquor store, you say, I can't follow him no more. If you see Pastor Jeter cussing folks out, you say, I can't follow him no more. You see Pastor Jeter smoking a joint, you say, I can't follow him no more. But long as I follow the Lord, you follow me. Amen? So we want to get back to doing those things to bring honor and glory to the Lord. So we want to take from this message today, stay faithful. Be hold on until Christ come back. Amen? Let's pray.